I'm kind of a glutton sometimes, and I tend to pick things to preach about that I need the most work on. Because selfishly, I figure if I write a message about it and I spend time with God preparing for it and I pray and I read the scripture about it and all that, by the time I get done with all that, maybe I'll be better on the other side of things. So when I saw this, the importance of friendship and this Ruth and Naomi thing, I thought, dang it, I have to preach about friendship. So I put my name in that slot and she said, really? You're going to do that? So here we go, because I'm just precursoring it, because you need to know that this is a weak link for me at times in my life. This has been a spot that I have needed work on. So why do you think that Ruth didn't go, like, I'm going to say Oprah at some point in the, I'm sorry, it's just, her name is Orpah, but I'm going to say Oprah at some point, because it just, it's right there. But, you know, Orpah leaves, and at first she didn't. She didn't. In the scripture, it says that at first both of them were going to stay. And then Orpah realizes, as Naomi is explaining to her why she doesn't want her to stay, Orpah realizes that it's the right choice for her to go. But Ruth, you know, why wouldn't she go when she had the chance? I mean, she was basically being given permission to go. So have you ever lost a friend? Been betrayed by a friend, betrayed a friend, or needed a friend? There's at least one of those that we all should probably fall in. One of those questions should have been a yes for you. Maybe not all of them, but at least one of them. I think we all at least have one we can relate to. Some of us are more friend needy than others. I've kind of always been, in my younger years, I was always friend needy, and I was always that person that tried desperately to fit into these groups of friends or these groups of friends. I remember when I was in elementary school, there was two of us girls who really wanted to be friends with this other girl, and the three thing wasn't working, so it was like we were constantly fighting for this one girl's attention, and that's kind of been like the story of my life, and I'm one of those friends that gives you like 150% of me. And a lot of people don't need that much. Why does that keep doing that? Sorry, I'm not supposed to draw attention to the tech people when you're preaching. My bad. I'll get yelled at for that later. All right, so some of us... How's that? Is that better? Oh, so if you don't stick it up your nose, it doesn't do it. I get it now. Some of us have great relationships with spouses or significant others, yes? And those people we actually consider some of our best friends or our best friends, correct? We've had moments, even if you don't have that now, you might have had a moment in your life at some point where that person was your best friend. I have that. I am blessed to have that. Thank you, Jesus. I have that every day of my life. Some of us ladies have really solid and tight friendships with our moms. Some of us who are grown women, some of us didn't always have that relationship with our moms, but some of us now, as grown women, have really awesome friendships with our moms, some not so much. Some guys have really, really awesome, you know, manly, but awesome, tight, close relationships with their dads, right? Or their moms, either way. We all have those kinds of bonds in our life. I've had friendships in my life. Now, one of the reasons why I pointed out the whole I thing is because you're going to, for the first half of the message today, you're going to think, gosh, I didn't come here to hear her talk about herself. We will get to the God stuff, I promise, but I'm taking us on a journey in the process, so just bear with me. I've had lots of friendships in my lifetime, and some of them have been good, and some of them have been not so good. I've been the good in some of the friendships, and I've also been the not so good in some of the friendships. The question that we ask this morning, though, is why would Ruth give up an opportunity to have, obviously, a better life just to stay with Naomi? We could go back in the history and the culture and, you know, how life was back in that day and probably discover, you know, that the hierarchy and the family. And, you know, Nancy talked about how, you know, when a widow returned to her family, there's probably pieces to that whole puzzle that you could probably say, oh, that's why. But really, she went against the wishes of this person who, for all intents and purposes, had become the leader in their family because the men had all died. So her loyalty to Naomi was so devout that she said that whole, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you'll stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. True, genuine friendship. Full of trust and love, devotion and commitment. Full of sacrifice, because she sacrificed a lot. I mean, she sacrificed potentially having a continued life of her own. I don't know how old she was, but I'm assuming that she had a lot of stuff left she could have done, and she sacrificed that. This is the kind of friend everyone needs, right? Somebody who's willing to put that much into a relationship. We all need someone at some point, just like the little boy in the video, in the audio video where he was talking to the police officer about his math. We all need somebody. Imagine your life without friends. I mean, just picture that for a minute. Even if you're not a friend needy person, imagine your life if you had no friends. How big is the hole? Cavernous. It's cavernous. It's dark and it's cavernous. It's empty. It's cold. It's lacking in love and comfort. When I think of famous friendships, and I know y'all are sitting there thinking of, you know, friends in movies and TV shows, and when I think, this is the very first one that came to my head when I was thinking about this message this week. Bambi and Thumper. Why in the world would that be the first friendship that comes to mind? Bambi and, really? Bambi and Thumper. It's not as though I've watched that movie recently. My children are grown. I have no grandkids yet. I mean, why would that? But that was the very first one that came to my mind. How about this one? Nemo and Dory. Have you ever seen Finding Nemo? Nemo and Dory. A friendship that sustained a lot. It survived a lot. Pooh and Piglet. Right? Pooh and... Okay, here's a quote. We'll be friends forever, right, Pooh? Asked Piglet. Even longer, answered Pooh. Everywhere you look and you read and you watch TV shows and you watch movies, everywhere you go, friendships form, they are tested, they are proven, they are broken, they are mended, and they are strengthened. The whole gamut of emotion filters into the relationship that is friendship. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I had one of those very important, significant, need friendships in my life for a chunk of my life, and it was shattered by that person. It was shattered. And it took me a very, very long time to recover. I have friendships that I've had for 40 years, off and on, that most likely will be in my life forever. And actually, as a matter of fact, one of them is in the room today. Her name is Betsy. Betsy is one of my longest forever friends that I've ever had. Betsy and I went to elementary school together. We went to junior high together. We went to high school together. And then we went off to college, and we kind of parted ways. And years and years and years and years and years go by. And through work experiences and whatnot, we were familiar with each other. We knew each other, blah, 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 off and on. But really, you know, there wasn't any hangout time. There wasn't any connection. She's someone that I'm privileged to call my friend, and I have known her for a very long time. When my dad died, now this might not be the first time we reconnected, but when my dad died in 2006, this person who I had known pretty much almost my whole life appeared out of nowhere, and she hugged me at the funeral as if we had had coffee the day before and had chatted for hours. It gives me chills even now when I think about it. I can still feel that hug, and I can still feel her comfort in that moment, because that's the kind of person that Betsy is. At least to me, that's who she is to me. And I'm sure that if you interviewed her other friends, they would probably say the same thing. We probably hadn't spoken more than a few words in several years before that, and yet I will never, ever forget what it felt like to see someone that had known me in my life with my dad and had shown up to pay respect and share comfort. I will never forget that. as long as I live. To this day, even when I think of her briefly for a fleeting moment, my heart experiences joy. And I've actually just recently randomly said that to her one day, and she was like, what caused that? And it's just like your head popped in my head, and instantly my heart was full. And I just feel like so many times we miss the opportunity to share that to a friend, to share that with a friend. We miss the opportunity to take a moment, pick up the phone and say, hey, you know what? I just thought of you and it made me feel good. And I just don't know if you're having a good day or a bad day, but hopefully this will help in whatever direction it is. She would never admit it, but she repeatedly rescues me from my burdens and my sorrows and my glum days. And she'll call me up and she'll say, I just got the feeling that maybe you were having a rough moment. So here I am. I have another friend whose name is Lori. And she showed up later in my life within the last 8 years. She is the calm in my storm in most situations. She's a little bit older than I. She's a little bit more experienced in life than I. But she's gone through some of the very same things that I've gone through in my life. And as a result of that, she can counsel me with a steady head and a steady heart and get me to the other side of darkness and ugliness and bitterness. And she did so on more than one occasion when I was at some of my darkest points because of that previous shattered friendship that caused me to not want to be friends with females anymore. Lori saved me from myself, and she would never admit that either, because she's one of the most humble, introverted, don't notice me people, and yet she is one of my best friends. I have lots of people like that. Let's not even get started on our pastor, Nancy. There's not even enough time for me to go into what that friendship means to me. She's our pastor, but more importantly to me, she is my friend.
That's because you have a great German Shepherd.
She only likes me because of my dog. But my love for her goes far beyond that. Yeah, far beyond that. And she has helped me be a better person over the last couple of years. She's pulled me out of myself a little bit. And so she's contributed to my life in a major, major way. I finally reached a point in my life where I am surrounding myself in my closest circle with only those who I am quite certain are the ones God knows I need. Did you hear me say that? My circle includes the ones God knows I need. I don't pull people into my most intimate circle unless I know that God has purpose for me to be in their life and them to be in mine, because life is short and I want to be effective with the time that God gives me. I'm not going to continue to go on and on about my friendships, but we could. But you know what I mean. You're thinking of people right now as I'm talking. You're thinking about people in your life that are those people to you, that are the ones that are in your circle. And they aren't there by accident, are they? God knew what Naomi needed, even if she didn't. Even if she was convinced she knew what was best, God knew better. He knew that Ruth should stay with her and that it was okay for Orpah to go. I believe that God guides those very situations in our lives as well. Sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. Which times do you think are most effective? Our God examples this true love through his word in all kinds of biblical examples of friendship, does he not? As I read a lot of stuff this week and I was researching and preparing in my head, I don't know if Nancy's ever said this, but a lot of times when I write a message, it stays really right here until like 24 hours before it's supposed to come out of my mouth. And then it ends up on paper, and sometimes it doesn't even look anything like it was here by the time I get it on paper. But as I was researching, I was reading some stuff. Because, you know, Google knows all about the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but Jonathan and David. How many of you are familiar with that friendship? Jonathan and David. One of the most famous stories about friendship in the Bible is the story of Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel. I'm going to read this because I don't want to, it's not my words, it's someone else's. I pulled it off of an article. So, Saul was the first king of Israel and Jonathan was his son. Jonathan would have been the next king in Israel, but his father Saul had disobeyed God to the point of having the kingdom taken away from him. God had already chosen David to be the next king of Israel. Even though Jonathan knew that David would be the next king, he befriended the young man anyway. Jonathan was willing to trust God's decision in the choice of the next king while accepting that this meant Jonathan would never be king. Saul tried to kill David, but Jonathan helped him escape. When it was clear that King Saul would not allow David to live, Jonathan put himself at risk to protect David. Jonathan confronted Saul concerning David, at which time Saul's anger was turned toward Jonathan. They eventually parted out of necessity, and David was heartbroken to learn of his friend's death. Here's another one. Abraham and God. Did you ever think of that as a friendship? The Bible says that Abraham was God's friend in Isaiah 41:8. They actually uses the words. I looked it up just to make sure so that I wasn't misspeaking. They had a relationship of respect and obedience. Abraham was very obedient to God, was he not? This does not mean that Abraham was sinless, but he trusted God to lead where he was supposed to go. When God spoke to Abraham, he immediately obeyed. Even though he was obedient to God, Romans 4 makes it clear that his salvation was not earned by works, but through faith in the promise of God for a Savior. How about this one? Jesus and Peter. Jesus had a strong bond and friendship with all the disciples. And in fact, later on when we have communion, you know, you think about the fact that Jesus, that was a meal. The Last Supper was a meal that Jesus had with his closest friends. Each one had their own relationship with the Lord. One of the men who was prominent during the life of Jesus and for many years after was the disciple named Peter. During Jesus' life, Peter was prominent more often than not because of his mistakes. Yet Jesus forgave him over and over and over. Because what do we learn from Jesus in this moment? Jesus forgives, we forgive. Love God, love others. It's all connected. Peter said that he would stand by Jesus' side until death. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. All four of the Gospels record Peter's denial, but before the Lord returned to heaven, he went to Peter in John 21 and showed compassion and forgiveness to him. Though Peter had denied Jesus, Jesus knew that he would be a man who would boldly proclaim the saving grace of God to the world. Our Savior, Jesus, the one who was sent to teach us how to love, how to serve, how to forgive, and how to be. I don't know about you, and I can't speak for you. But today I can say without shadow of doubt that were it not for God and his love for me, and him sending his son to reconstruct me to be the me I'm supposed to be. Reconstruct. Because we get it wrong all the time. Jesus was sent to reconstruct. I love that word. Reconstruct. I'm not unrepairable. I can be reconstructed. If it wasn't for that, I'd be a mess. Without my friend Jesus, who would I be and how could I be? In a little bit, we're going to have our prayer time and we're going to participate in Holy Communion, that meal of with friends. As we prepare our hearts for these intimate few moments with God, reflect on who your friends are, why they are our friends, what you most cherish about them. Then realize that because God sent Jesus to be among us and die for us, there truly is no greater example of love and friendship than the one our Jesus provides. As we walk down the path, we look at him and we say, we'll be friends forever, right? And Jesus looks at us and says, even longer. Sing this with me, just our voices. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.